Hello, and welcome to Dragon Years, Remembrance of Times Past 2012. I'm Siwa Leong. In China, the dragon symbolizes power and wisdom. These qualities seemed especially fitting for 2012, the year of the Water Dragon, which saw Xi Jinping's ascension as China's next leader. That same year, in this atmosphere of change, Dohua brought together US and Chinese judges to San Francisco for its third exchange on juvenile justice, bridging East and West in the pursuit of reform. In this podcast, John Kam, Judge Len Edwards, and Dohua board member Maggie Yum take us behind the scenes of this pivotal exchange and its impact, culminating in China's amendment to its criminal procedure law that same year. We begin with John's perspective on 2012.
It was the year that Barack Obama was re-elected President of the United States. It was also the year in which Mr. Xi Jinping became General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. And this was very significant for juvenile justice because his wife, Madam Peng, is in fact an advocate and supporter of juvenile justice reform. And I like to point that out because one of the reasons we've been doing this for so long, and again, we've done 7 juvenile justice exchanges with the Supreme Court and other judges, by the way, they bring in judges just as we bring in judges. So 7 and 2 additional symposia on women and girls in which the Supreme Court participated. So we have this, and by the way, getting permission to leave China and go abroad to participate in some kind of an exchange, that's not easy. So yes, 2012 was a very important year. In terms of what we're talking about today, that was the year in which the criminal procedure law, which has a section on trials of juveniles, took effect, and we're very fortunate to have Len Edwards with us today, Judge Edwards, because some of the reforms that are introduced, which I like to think the Dohua Exchange has contributed to, a couple in particular, diversion and sealing of records.
Well, I've taught and visited many different states and countries, but my experience with the Chinese judges is unique. These judges came to the United States to learn. Chinese have a new juvenile court. And what I mean by that is we started ours in 1899, and they did not start their court until the middle of last century. And they finally realized that they could learn from other countries. So it was my honor to visit with them, first of all, in 2008, and apparently I made some statements there that impressed them. So when they came back in 2012, it was an extensive visit. They came down to Santa Clara and San Mateo counties. They were in San Francisco. And at the luncheon in Santa Clara County, the lead judge, juvenile judge from China, sat down, and he obviously wanted to talk to me. He sat right across the table, just as John is sitting across from me now. And he had colleagues who were at that table. And he looked at me and he wanted to know about record sealing. The Chinese wanted to have a better system for their children. That just made so much sense to me. It's my life work is working with children in both the juvenile justice and the juvenile dependency system. The juvenile dependency system refers to children who have been abused or neglected by their parents. We talked for probably an hour, and he asked me question after question about sealing records. He was taking notes, and I hope I helped him. But what I really think I did was I tweaked his interest, and he wanted to have me come to China. I could tell that. He wanted to learn more. He wanted his colleagues to learn more. And I think that really kicked off what, for me, was a major visit to Beijing to talk to the judges about juvenile law.
John, Judge Leonard Edwards just mentioned some of the program. Could you go into more detail about that?
The Chinese judges came to the Bay Area, and they visited three counties, San Francisco, San Mateo, and Santa Clara. Something that really stood out for me as a layman is how different the systems, juvenile justice systems, are in each county. And this harkens back to the very first juvenile exchange in which Judge Edwards made a presentation to the Chinese judges at the University Club just up the hill. He told the Chinese judges, there isn't a single unified federal system. And so when we made that trip, it was apparent that, in fact, yes, they are different systems.
They assumed that we had a federal system.
Right.
I mean, that because that was the only system they knew. That's what they do in China. And when I told them that there are 51 jurisdictions with 51 sets of laws, and that even within a state, with California, for example, California's laws, we have 58 counties with 58 ways that those laws are interpreted, I'm sure they were surprised. And I bet they also wondered, what can we learn from a system with hundreds and hundreds of different implementation of laws?
What do you think you learned from the questions that he was asking about their system?
It became clear in their reactions to what I was saying that their system was much different. It's very top-down. And when a law is passed in China, it applies to the whole country, several billion people. So I learned that I could be of some use to them, but to make their federal law, they would have to cherry pick. What's best from the United States can we learn and take home? And fortunately, California has the best record sealing statutes in the country, and they liked what they heard about record sealing. This told me something even more important, both in their attitude, their questions, and meeting and talking with the judges, they cared about children. They wanted better results for their children. And children were top of their list of, we need to change our criminal justice system and have a juvenile justice system which is different and more sensitive to the special needs of children. They accepted that children were different. I think the Chinese get it. And for me, United States, there are many places where people don't get it when six-year-olds go to trial. It's ridiculous in some places, in some cases. So I really like the attitude that the Chinese had when they were here talking about changing their juvenile justice system to fit the needs of children.
Let me jump in here for a minute, and I just want to introduce Maggie. Magdalene Yum is a business person, a founder with me of the Duehua Foundation. I think she's the longest serving director. She has years of experience doing business in China. And one of the things she did during our third exchange in 2012 is to host a dinner at her house. Maggie, does anything come to mind about that dinner? And by the way, not just the dinner. I mean, you did other things for the delegation, as I recall.
I actually followed the delegation, all of the activity. But then, of course, you know, Duehua, we always have a very tight budget. So I was discussing with John, what can we do, you know, to entertain this group of judges? So I said, what about hosting it at a home? I'll open up my home. And I thought that is a good thing to do. We are doing a dialogue on the juvenile justice. What about opening up our culture here? How we live here. I live in a suburban area, so we can show them this humble house that's how we live and how we work in the house. So I open up my house and make them feel at home. And the conversation when we're in the house is quite different from when we're with the when we're in the court or when we're visiting facilities. And it was a very amicable environment. And I think that is how bonding and trust start building up. Any relationship building, I think that is very important. And I think we, you know, with the help of the volunteers and also the staff of Duehua, the dinner was very successful and everybody is happy. They really feel at home. And of course, our guests from our team here, partners, you know, of this event, also participated. And I think that is the other side of dialogue.
I think that it was a surprise. I don't think they thought they would do anything but go to courts and big rooms where they would talk with us. They saw a family, and that to me was a breakthrough. For those judges to go to your house and the hospitality you provided was a wonderful addition. They will remember that forever.
I'd like to ask a basic question here. Were the exchanges successful? How do you measure it? Well, first of all, they contributed. The exchanges contributed. We cannot certainly not claim full credit for this. After 2013, convictions of juveniles in China have dropped by 50%. And that's because of the reforms in the criminal procedure law. 50%, year after year. And I believe in 2022, for the first time, as a percentage of total convictions in the country, it fell under 5%. China is a very young country as well as being an old country, but it's a lot of young people. So again, these were incorporated into their practices, diversion, sealing of records. In terms of diversion, in 2022, 26,000 juvenile cases were diverted. And very significantly, record sealing. A total of 92,000, almost 93,000 juveniles had their records sealed from 2020 to 2022, a three-year period. And in 2022, 33,000 juvenile records were sealed, which was an increase from both 2020 and 2021. These are official Chinese numbers. So I would say the exchanges, as measured by that, were quite successful.
Well, I go back to what you said earlier. I think the Chinese government, the decision makers, realized that they had not focused on children in the justice system adequately. And I think that we helped awaken them because their attitude changed, their laws changed, and the results are positive. And it also goes back to what Maggie said, the Chinese really care about their children.
Yeah.
They see the justice system as able to rehabilitate children. Punishment is not necessary in many, many cases. Rehabilitation is necessary in all cases. And they made a national change because they are a top-down government. And I applaud them. I think that's a wonderful approach. And it won't happen here because we are much more diversified with 51 jurisdictions and 58 counties in California. But the Chinese get it. Children are different. They need to be nurtured. They need to be brought up. And the state can help.
I would say one other thing the Juvenile Justice Exchange has accomplished, and that was to show that dialogue works. Given the dismal state of U.S.-China relations, this has to be stressed. The dialogue does work. In this case, we have concrete examples of how it has worked. You know, we did talk about this. What did the American judges learn from the Chinese judges? And Judge Edwards talked a little bit about that. But I want to go all the way back to the very first exchange in which we met with Justice Arthur Kennedy. And he is really a towering figure in juvenile justice reform in the United States. He was the deciding vote in a key case which found that executing individuals before the age of 18 when they're juveniles is unconstitutional. And he specifically pointed out that he learned from China on this very point. In China, they don't do that. And they haven't for many years, more than five decades. So he credited the Chinese, at least in part, not just China, but for this important reform in the United States. Assuming we continue with our Chinese friends, what other topics should be discussed?
Well, we have had several telephone conferences on issues mostly relating to abused and neglected children. And my suggestion now is that we turn to children who commit serious crimes, and how do the two systems address these children Do they treat them as adults by sending them to prison? And the answer in the United States is some do and some don't. It depends on the state. But that's very important for us to learn about China, because China will have one policy, and I'd like to know much more about that. I enjoyed greatly, there were several of our judges in California who made presentations about issues that I had identified as important. And this is one that I think we would both learn from. And it goes back to my belief that China has a lot to teach us, because I think they understand childhood better than we do.
Well, this is a big topic in China. You know, there have been a number of cases of juveniles committing really serious murder, rape, you name it. And the Chinese are trying to figure out how do you deal with this.
That's right.
And I hope they don't learn everything from us, because we really, we're quite capable of, as we say, do the crime, do the time. You know?
Well, California is on the cutting edge within the United States. They have, for example, abolished prisons for children in California. That was 2 years ago, and a very close colleague of mine is running that program. Now these kids stay in the county in which the crime occurred. And that's something that I would like to tell the Chinese about, because it's working.
Yeah.
And it's education and jobs and rehabilitation focus. Congregate care is the other message I'd like to give. It doesn't work. Kids learn more about crime from their friends when they are in congregate care. Gangs form and gangs fight with each other. And that's a phenomenon that is reduced dramatically when you keep the kids in the local county. They're closer to their families. So I'm hoping, John, that we can have an exchange with our colleagues in China on that issue.
John, I wanted to pose this actually two questions to you. One is, what would you like to see in the next exchange? And then secondly, is that the State Department in its annual report seems to only focus on negative developments in China, but it doesn't talk about the positive developments. Why do you think that is?
First, and that is, I certainly align my views with that of Judge Edwards. I think the question of serious crimes is a very important question in both countries. And both countries are trying to figure out how to deal with it. It wasn't long ago that we would actually sentence juveniles to death. We don't do that anymore. But, you know, we do still give long sentences. You can definitely sentence a juvenile to life in prison. And so that is a subject I'm quite sure that the Chinese side would be interested in learning about, and that we could learn how they intend to, because they are really grappling with this question. There have been some very high-profile murders by juveniles in China. To your second question, yes, the United States State Department, every year for decades, puts out a report on human rights practices in different countries, not just China. They pass judgment on all of these abuses in all of these different countries. And in China, they point out all the negatives. I mean, of course, it's a long line. I don't challenge that. But nothing on positive developments, nothing at all. And there have been, including, of course, juvenile justice. And for years, I've pushed the State Department to recognize that it's not all negative in China. There are some positive things. And you need to recognize to be effective in two ways. First of all, by pointing out the bright, you accentuate the dark. You can see the difference, okay? But the other thing is, and I'm taking that from friends of mine in Geneva. Again, we've said this before on this podcast series. You know, if all you can do is point out the negative and you do not recognize anything positive, you're hurting your credibility.
On that note, I actually wanted to pose this question to Maggie. You know, there is a lot of negative information coming out of China. And to John's point, you have to actually highlight the light parts, the improvements, against the areas which haven't been improved in order to see what it is, to see clearly what it is. You're a founding member of Dohua. You've been doing this for the last 25 years or so. And you clearly believe in the importance of dialogue. Now, there's been a lot of changes in China. So where do you think dialogue plays a role given the environment today?
I think it is key. people use the word dialogue very casually, thinking that it's just chatting. It is not as very simple. My experience with the Dui Hua Foundation and learning from John, dialogue is a very serious matter. It takes a lot of compassion in you for the subject matter that you want to discuss. And at the same time, you have to be humble in order to engage in dialogue on both sides. As long as you have the spirit, you will get some result. So yes, dialogue is very important. Dialogue will solve a lot of issues. Dialogue doesn't mean that I agree with you. It's I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me. Then we find a common ground or we go back and think and then we come back. But not confrontational, not a war. There is a good intention that we want to achieve goodness, not through violence, but through dialogue, real dialogue.
And I would add here that we used to have a human rights dialogue with China. But in 2016, we pulled out of that. It was President Obama under him. He said, you know, we're not going to do any more human rights dialogues. It's a waste of time, which to me is incredibly short-sighted. We should be talking about juvenile justice in the human rights dialogue with China. We used to be able to bring up the cases of political and religious prisoners in China. We can't do that anymore at the government-to-government level. We don't have a dialogue. You know, we need to get back on the straight and narrow here.
Well, Dui Hua has been doing that sometimes all by itself. And by the way, dialogue, in my view, means honesty and expressing positives and negatives, conceding that there are positives in all countries.
You've just been listening to Len Edwards, John Kam, and Maggie Young on Dui Hua's 2012 Juvenile Justice Exchange and its impact on juvenile justice reform in China. If you'd like to find out more about Dui Hua's work, please go to www.duihua.org. There you'll find information on all of Dui Hua's exchanges under resources and subscribe to us. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to you joining us again for Dui Hua's next podcast.